Giles Deathstalker, Owen's revered ancestor, thought the city might be a physical expression of the Hayden Man Group mind, and when it was complete, they would be too. Owen had known only one Hayden Man before, and that was Tobias Moon, who'd lived among humans so long he had become all but human himself, much to his disgust. He died trying to free his people from their tomb, and never saw their great awakening. In the end, Owen had revived them, and not a day went past without his wondering if he'd done the right thing. The Hayden men had repaired Moon afterward, but though his body now worked as efficiently as ever, the mind and memories of Tobias Moon had not returned. They were gone, lost, and Owen couldn't find it in himself to be unhappy. The dead should stay dead.
If Hazel's in there much longer, we'll have to send in a search party.
The AI Ozymandias murmured in Owen's ear. I thought I told you I'm not talking to you. I don't know who or what you are, but you aren't my Oz. I destroyed him.
You came bloody close, but no cigar. I'm still here. I do wish you'd listen to me. I have only your best interests at heart.
You don't have a heart.
Oh, picky. Don't put on airs with me, Owen. You may be a hero now and the great new hope of the rebellion, but I knew you when all you cared about was sleeping in late and which kind of wine to have with your dinner. I have no intention of letting your present success go to your head.
If you are Oz, then how is it I'm the only one who can hear you? If you're on my comm channel, other people should be able to pick you up too.
Don't ask me, I'm just a computer. Something strange happened to me, certainly, but I'm back now. Feel free to applaud.
You were an Empire spy. I have trusted and relied on you since I was a child, and you betrayed me. You put control words in my head and made me try to kill my friends.
It was programmed into me. I had no choice. But that's all gone now. And if I had any control words, I don't remember them. And maybe that was all just an overlay the Empire installed, and that was what you destroyed with your new mental abilities. Personally, I'm very pleased that you've become a rebel. You were never very successful as an aristocrat. Besides, I want you to kick the Empire's ass. They used me to hurt you. I won't allow that again.
Owen said nothing. Part of him wanted to believe it was really Oz, his friend come back again. But he'd felt Oz die in his mind, disappearing into a darkness without end. But if the voice in his head wasn't Oz, who was it? Some other AI somehow patching in through Oz's old connection? Some unknown presence he acquired when he passed through the madness maze? Or was he simply going insane, cracking up under the pressure of being a leader of the new rebellion? And if he was going crazy, did he have a duty to tell the others? Whoever you are, keep quiet. I have enough to worry about as it is.
Your choice. Call me if you change your mind. I'll just twiddle my thumbs and count electrons.
Owen waited a moment, but all was quiet inside his head. The only noise came from behind him, where more of the Hayden men were busily repairing minor damage to the golden ship he'd brought back from the Golgotha mission. Apparently, this mostly involved beating the hell out of the rear fin with large hammers and a lot of enthusiasm. Personally, Owen was damned if he could see anything wrong with the starship, but that was the augmented men for you, always busy working, repairing, and improving, in pursuit of perfection. He looked back at the ship in time to see two women with the same face emerging from the open loading bay in the ship's belly. He nodded politely as they strode toward him. The Stevie Blues, Esper clones, and representatives of the Golgotha Underground. Every time he looked at them, Owen remembered the third Stevie Blue, who died during the escape from the TAX headquarters, despite everything he could do to save her. All his new powers and abilities, and he still couldn't save one life when it mattered. The Blues were wives, sisters, clones, a relationship stronger and closer than anything Owen could imagine. What must it feel like when a third of you dies? They came to a halt before him and nodded respectfully.
Hi, I'm Stevie One, this is Stevie Three. Don't get us confused or we'll get cranky.
I'm sorry about Stevie Two. I would have saved her if I could.
You risked your life trying to save her. An Esper and a clone you barely knew. That's a lot more than most would have done.
She will be avenged, if that's any comfort.
cold comfort is better than none.
Stevie 3 nodded. Stevie 1 glanced back at the busily working Hayden men.
Horrid things, aren't they? I've known vending machines that were more human than this bunch, and talking elevators that had more personality. They give me the creeps. Right. It doesn't help that they're fascinated with us. I've never seen anyone so interested in me who wasn't trying to get into my pants. Apparently, there were no Esper clones around during their last lifetime. They keep asking us, very politely, if we'd like to visit their laboratories.
You're probably right. They took away a number of Wampir from the Empire Force that came here, and we never saw any of them again.
Oh, hell. Here comes another one.
A single Hayden man came striding purposefully toward them from the Golden Ship. He could have been one Owen had met before, or he might not. They all looked the same to him. Tall and perfectly muscled, the Hayden man's every movement was the epitome of grace, and his eyes glowed like the sun. Half man, half machine, more than both. And like all his kind, extremely single-minded. The two Stevie Blues looked at each other. Stevie 1 produced a coin and tossed it.
Heads!
Stevie 3 said it while it was still in midair. Stevie 1 caught the coin and slapped it on the back of her hand. Stevie 3 looked and scowled.
Damn. Your turn.
They both turned to face the Hayden man with the same cold expression. The augmented man came to a halt before them, poised and perfect, and when he spoke, his buzzing voice was calm and very reasonable.
You must submit to examination. It is necessary that we understand the changes that have taken place in humanity during our absence.
We don't do tests. Right.
Blue flames burst out all around Stevie 3, licking along the lines of her body without harming her. Owen and Stevie 1 fell back a step, hands raised to protect their faces from the heat that shimmered in the air before them. The Hayden man stood his ground, apparently unaffected by the heat. Stevie 3 smiled unpleasantly and turned up the heat another notch. Beads of sweat appeared on the Hayden man's expressionless face.
So glad we had this little chat. Now get out of here or I'll weld your legs together.
The Hayden man considered the matter for a moment. Black scorch marks were beginning to appear on his simple cloth robe. And then he took a step forward so he could stare right into Stevie 3's face. The light from his eyes was almost blinding at close range.
We will discuss this again at a future time.
Yeah, right.
Stevie 3 fought down an impulse to step back a pace herself.
Later.
The Hayden man turned unhurriedly away and walked off into the gleaming metal and glass city. Owen and the two Stevie Blues watched him go, and no one said anything until they were sure he was out of earshot. Owen turned to Stevie 3 and fanned at the hot air between them with his hand. Do you think you could turn that down a little now? It's getting rather close around here.
Oh, sorry.
The leaping flames surrounding her snapped off as quickly as they'd arisen.
I can't believe we're allies with the augmented men. They're really not human, after all. There are those who say the same thing about us. Not around me, they don't. You can't compare us to them. For all our differences, we were born, not made. Let's get to the meeting. We're running late as it is. Will you be joining us, Deathstalker?
Soon. Don't wait for me. The two Esper clones nodded in the same way, at the same moment, and then their faces went blank as they contacted the last standing through their comm implants. They disappeared between one moment and the next. Owen blinked respectfully. Teleportation like that took one hell of a lot of power, which was one reason it wasn't more commonly used in the Empire. Espers were cheaper and more easily controlled. Besides, it wouldn't do for something so useful to fall into the hands of the common herd. Rank had to have its privileges, or what was the point? Owen scowled. The last standing was using up a lot of power recently, and even its vast resources weren't bottomless. Still, that wasn't his problem. His problem was still somewhere in the Hayden Man city, taking her own sweet time about getting back. He looked out over the gleaming city, glanced again at the watch face in his wrist, and swore quietly. He couldn't wait any longer. He'd have to go in and find her. There was always the chance something had happened to her, but it wasn't likely. He'd have known. All of those who'd passed through the enigmatic alien structure known as the Madness Maze had emerged changed in body and mind. They were linked together on a deep and fundamental level, a bond that could not be broken by anything now, least of all distance. He concentrated deep within himself, sinking down into the back brain, the undermind, and there were the others looking back at him. Jack Random and Ruby Journey and his ancestor Giles were up in the last standing. Hazel was in the city, not far away. He narrowed in on her and fixed her location in the city. Not far away at all. Walking distance. All he had to do to find her was walk into the most alien and disturbing city he'd ever seen. Damn, he thought dispassionately. He squared his shoulders, checked his weapons were where they should be, and set off into the gleaming city. The strangely shaped buildings and structures loomed up around him, closing him in, all of them lit from within by an unwavering silver glow that was subtly unnerving. It bothered him till he realized that for all the light, there were no shadows anywhere, just the endless, unforgiving light. It felt cold upon his skin, like the caress of passing ghosts, and the unrelenting glare started a headache right behind his eyes. Or perhaps his head hurt because of the shapes around him. The dimensions were all wrong, distorted and unsettling on some fundamental level, like a triangle whose angles added up to more than 180 degrees. Just another proof that the Haydenmen weren't human. No human could survive for long in the city without going crazy. So what could be so important to Hazel that it drove her into this unnatural city and kept her here when every human instinct in her must be screaming for her to leave? It got colder the farther he pressed into the city, and the air grew thin, as though he was climbing a mountain into a more rarefied atmosphere. The air smelt of ozone and other chemicals he didn't recognize. There was a constant deep thudding, a sound so low and so quiet he felt it in his bones as much as heard it. A constant slow pulsing, like the beat of a giant heart. There were Haydenmen everywhere he looked, working or operating unfamiliar machinery, or walking unhurriedly down the wide streets. Some were just standing quietly looking at nothing, as though waiting for instructions. None of them spoke. They were linked on a level beyond speech. No one turned to look at Owen as he passed, but he knew he was being watched. As long as he didn't touch anything or try and interfere with their work, he should be safe enough. Mostly, they were very respectful to the man who'd awakened them from their tomb. They called him Redeemer and bowed to him, but Owen knew better than to try and take advantage of that. They were probably doing it only to mess with his head. He was human, and they weren't. And if he got in the way or saw something he wasn't supposed to, Owen had no doubt the augmented men would strike him down as casually as a man might swat a bothersome fly. So he walked casually down the middle of the street, looking straight ahead, his back prickling from the pressure of countless watching eyes, and let his hand rest on his belt, right next to his disruptor. And Hazel had better have a bloody good reason for being here. He found her down a side street, not hiding, but not in plain sight either. She was talking with a Hayden man and didn't look around as Owen approached. The augmented man handed her a small metal flask, which Hazel immediately made disappear about her person, and only then looked around to scowl at Owen. The Hayden man walked off in the opposite direction, not looking once in Owen's direction.
What the hell are you doing here, Aristo?
Hazel spoke in the coldest voice Owen had ever heard from her. I could ask you the same question. We're supposed to be attending a council meeting up in the last standing, remember? It'll look rather bad if we're not there. We are two of the guests of honor, after all. Hazel shrugged.
You go. They don't need me. Planning's not what I do best.
I had noticed. But they definitely want both of us. For PR as much as anything. To show our faces to potential supporters and backers. What were you and the Haydenmen talking about?
Didn't you recognize him? That was Moon.
Owen looked quickly after the departing figure, but he was already gone, disappeared back into the anonymous host of Haydenmen. Owen looked back at Hazel. No, I didn't recognize him. How did you find him? He looks the same as all the others now.
He found me.
Did he remember you?
Not really. He recognized me. You and I are part of all Hayden Man programming. But Tobias Moon is gone. There's nothing left of the man we once knew.
She shrugged briefly.
No big deal. We were never close.
Owen just nodded. It would only embarrass Hazel if he pushed her to admit she'd cared enough to seek Moon out. In a city, most people wouldn't have entered without a gun at their back. Hazel liked to think she was above such weaknesses as caring. What was that flask he gave you?
Don't question me, Aristo. My business is my business. Now let's go. We have a meeting to attend, remember?
Women, thought Owen, though he had the sense not to say it aloud. All this over a little expressed emotion. Heaven forfend that Hazel Dark should be seen to be anything but the strong, unyielding pirate with a heart of solid stone. He gestured for her to lead the way, and they set off back through the Hayden Man city. None of the augmented men they passed looked up from what they were doing.
They're going to have to work to make this a tourist spot. No bars, no sights, and the atmosphere's terrible.
Right. Maybe a petting zoo would help.
I doubt it. They'd probably put people in it.
Hazel paused and glanced sideways at Owen.
Does it bother you that they're all being so nice and reasonable? I mean, these people, and I use the term loosely, used to be the official enemies of humanity. It used to be that if a human saw a Hayden Man, it was the last thing he ever saw. Why are they helping us with the rebellion? What's in it for them?
Dead humans, I expect. The old divide and conquer bit. They get to see the Empire fall and refine their fighting abilities at the same time. We'll just have to keep a close watch on our backs and make sure Hayden doesn't get too powerful again. We can't do without them, Hazel. They're all we've got to throw against the Empire's armies.
And what if they're just going along with us to discover all our weak spots so they can take us out once we've knocked over the Empire?
Then you and I will have to step in and save the day. That's our job, remember? We are the heroes here.
Yeah. Heroes.
They teleported up into the Great Hall of the Last Standing to find everyone else had got there before them. The hall itself was huge, bigger even than the hall in Owen's own standing back on Viramond, but it was still crowded from wall to wall with hollows of politely chatting people. Everyone with an interest in rebellion had sent hologram representatives, if only to make sure they weren't left out of anything important. Owen and Hazel were stuck out on the fringe, for which Owen, at least, was grateful. He wanted to get some idea of what kind of bear pit he was stepping into before he opened his mouth. He looked around him unobtrusively, but the sea of faces were mostly unfamiliar. Quite a few seemed awed by the sheer size of the hall, though they were all doing their best not to show it. Owen smiled slightly. They should be grateful they were in the hall. The Hayden Man had wanted the meeting to take place in their city, but the humans turned that down very quickly, on the grounds that the city was just too bloody disturbing. There wasn't much the five humans agreed on, but the city was quite definitely one of them. Giles, in particular, had been very firm. He was convinced the Hayden Men were doing a great deal more than just rebuilding their city, that they were up to things no human could hope to understand. Either way, they all agreed it would be in everyone's best interests to maintain a safe distance between potential backers and the augmented men. The Hayden Men had insisted on sending a representative in person, and people were keeping a safe distance from him, too. It didn't seem to bother him. He held a glass of wine in his hand, but didn't drink from it, and smiled politely at anyone who passed. It wasn't a particularly successful smile, but not bad for a Hayden Man. Maybe he'd been practicing with a mirror. There were hundreds of hollows from every corner of the Empire. Their signals bounced through a confusing series of relays, courtesy of the cyberrats on Golgotha. Anyone trying to listen in would go crazy following the signals from relay to relay without ever catching up. Many of the representatives had been drawn by Jack Random's name. The legendary professional rebel was still a powerful symbol, even though his defeats far outweighed his successes. The man himself was holding court in the center of the hall, smiling broadly with a word for everyone. Ruby Journey stood at his side, ready to snarl at anyone who got too close. And yet it had to be said, a great many people were shocked at seeing Jack's present condition. The years and the defeats had not been kind to him, and his time in the hands of the Empire mind techs and torturers had left their mark on him too. The legend of Jack Random had spread throughout the Empire, but that was mostly based on propaganda holos he'd circulated during his earlier, more successful days. That was then, this was now, and Jack didn't look like a hero anymore. He was a short, slight man in his late 40s, who looked 20 years older. He had a thin, lined face topped by ragged gray hair that looked like he cut it himself. He'd been muscular once, but the best you could call him now was wiry. His hands had liver spots on the back, and they trembled constantly. He didn't look like a legendary fighter and warrior anymore. He looked more like an old man up well past his bedtime. Ruby Journey, on the other hand, looked like sudden death on two legs, with a glare to match. She'd been the best bounty hunter on Mistworld, which took some doing, and most people were giving her even more room than the Hayden man. They were perfectly safe as hollows, but somehow they only had to look at Ruby to find pressing reasons to be somewhere else. She was medium height, sleek and powerful, wearing shiny black leathers under grubby white furs. She wore sword and gun on her hips, and no one had any doubts she knew how to use them. Her face was pale and pointed, with dark, unwavering eyes and a fierce smile, under a helmet of short, dark hair. She wasn't pretty, but she was attractive in a dark and very dangerous way. Jack Random was winning bonus points for just being so relaxed in her company. Owen and Hazel moved unhurriedly through the crowd, smiling and bowing and saying hello, glad you could make it, while trying to sound like they meant it. They also tried their best not to walk through people, but it was very crowded. Owen had more experience in diplomacy and lying with a straight face, so he made a rather better impression than Hazel, but he gave her credit for at least trying. She wasn't the most sociable of people at the best of times, and of late she'd been more reserved and generally snappy than ever. Owen had tried to ask her tentatively if anything was wrong, but her cold glare kept him at a distance, along with everyone else. Presumably, she was still mad about being trapped on a bleak and empty world, light years from anywhere civilized. Hazel liked her comforts, and wasn't particularly interested in politics. If you couldn't drink it, eat it, or pick a fight with it, Hazel usually couldn't care less. They finally finished their rounds and returned to the small self-service bar Giles had thoughtfully set up in a corner. Owen leaned an elbow on the bar and sighed. His cheeks ached. He hadn't done so much smiling in years. Hazel allowed him to pour her a large one and scowled out at the crowd.
Do you recognize any of these people? I'd hate to think I was putting on this show for a bunch of nobodies.
I know some of them. Owen paused to raise an appreciative eyebrow at the excellent vintage in his glass. The Standing must have a superb wine cellar somewhere. Hazel gulped at hers like it was a cheap claret. Owen hid a wince and continued. There's a handful of lesser lords, representatives of several clans and business interests, and a few minor heroes. No one in Jack Random's class, but it's good they came. It means we're being taken seriously. Hello. Look over there. You know who that is, don't you?
Damn right I do. That's Investigator Topaz from Mistworld. The only Major League Esper ever to become an investigator. The most powerful siren the Empire ever knew. When she went rogue and made a run for Mistworld, they sent a whole company of Marines after her, and she killed them all with a single song. She practically saved Mistworld single-handed when Imperial agents smuggled Typhoid Mary past the planet's defenses. Never met her personally, and I can't say I'm sorry. She's supposed to be cold as ice and twice as deadly. I feel rather outclassed.
Don't. She came to us, remember?
Good point. But we'd better keep Ruby away from her just in case.
They both looked around sharply as someone called Owen's name, and a hollow figure approached them, smiling widely. Dressed in brilliant silks, color matched to within an inch of their lives, he looked fat and prosperous and very pleased with himself. He bounced to a halt in front of them, bowed to Owen, and smiled and nodded to Hazel.
Owen, dear boy, so good to see you again.
I might have known you'd be here. Never were one to miss an opportunity, were you, Elias? Hazel Dark, allow me to present to you Elias Gutman, adventurer and profiteer, a rotten branch from a distinguished tree. His family sends him money regularly as long as he promises not to come home. He worked with my father on some of his dirtier deals to raise money for his intrigues.
Very dirty, but very profitable deals. Glad to see you're finally following in your father's footsteps. My colleagues and I expect great things from you.
My father has nothing to do with why I'm here. Hazel flicked on a glance as she heard the ice in his voice. I'm fighting for my own reasons, and I'll choose my own friends and allies. Let me tell you about Elias Gutman, Hazel. He has a hand in every crooked and corrupt business deal on half the planets in the Empire. No trade's too dirty for him to take a cut, and the only laws he hasn't broken are the ones he hasn't gotten around to yet. He makes his money from the suffering of others, and he probably has as much blood on his hands as Lionstone herself.
You flatter me, dear boy, you do. I'm just a businessman with an eye for a profit. Your father never objected.
I'm not my father.
I'm glad to hear it. The dear fellow was always too idealistic for his own good. Bless me, he was. He never could remember the first rule of business. Never let a principle get in the way of profit. There's always a good deal of money to be made in times of war, and I intend to have my fair share and more. Do try not to get caught underfoot, Owen. You might find that I and my kind are more of an asset to the rebellion than you are. Financial backing is hard to come by, but there's never a shortage of people foolish enough to be heroes.
He smiled, bowed, and walked away, while Owen was still trying to come up with an answer that would crush him. Owen stood fuming for a moment, and then let out his breath in a long sigh. He'd never been any good at repartee. He only ever thought of the perfect answer hours later, when it was too late. But there was no point in getting angry this early in the proceedings. He had no doubt there'd be much more important things for him to get angry about once the council was brought to order and the real wheeling and dealing began. He muttered something to Hazel about recognizing someone and set off through the crowd. He needed some time to himself for a moment. Familiar faces came and went around him as he passed through the chattering hollow images, like the only living man at a feast of ghosts. People nodded and smiled at him, but he pretended not to notice. He wasn't in the mood to play politics. And then, an unexpected face caught his attention, and he paused for a moment to watch the man with the tattooed face talking to Giles. Apparently, Investigator Topaz wasn't the only representative from Mistworld. Owen had met the man called Chance before, at the Abraxas Information Center in Mistport, where young Espers overheard everything and would tell you for the right price. One of those Espers claimed to have seen Owen's future.
I see you, Deathstalker. Destiny has you in its clutches, struggle how you may. You will tumble an empire, see the end of everything you ever believed in, and you'll do it all for a love you'll never know. And when it's over, you'll die alone, far from friends and succor.